The Colm and Lucy Podcast with Colm Hayes and Lucy Kennedy.
From Nova.ie and Radio Nova.
Hello and welcome to another Colm and Lucy Podcast. Over the next couple of weeks you will hear, well maybe not the next couple of weeks, maybe the next couple of minutes, you will hear Ukulele Tuesday. They're a surprising band who actually play ukuleles. Also, we talk about multiple marriages. Are they better for women or are they better for men? Find out. The stars of Tinder the Musical pop into studio and we talk about Tinder and how we used it as a social experiment and also for our sexual pleasure. Now, things that we hate at the movies, we had that little list coming up as well. We speak more about Ukulele Tuesday, actually, when they talk and they play Space Oddity. We go to the movies and we talk about Rebecca not being called. What do you mean not being called? Not being called.
Not being called Mama.
Not Rebecca not being called Mama. Thank you very much. That other voice is one of my other personalities. This is the Colm and Lucy Podcast.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
And also here is Sean, Mark and Bastian. Ukulele Tuesday.
Hello. Good morning. Lovely to be here.
Good morning to you all. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago I spotted this in the papers that there's a ukulele hoolie which is taking place. It's a birthday bash is planned for the world famous ukulele hoolie which celebrates its 10th anniversary in Dunleary and it's this weekend and ukulele players from around the world are going to be there. am I right in saying from around the world?
Absolutely. It's amazing how the ukulele hoolie has taken off. It's actually the biggest ukulele festival in Europe now
is
at the moment.
But not the world, not yet. There's a bigger one, is there?
It depends. The footfall last year, we were on the same day as the Pope came last year. Would you believe?
Bummer,
He got a little bit more of a crowd than us, but there was still 20,000.
That's brilliant.
In the People's Park in Dunleary, which was really fabulous, especially for a free open-air concert, you know, bring your families along kind of thing.
Now, for me, I just thought ukulele, you know, it's a bit of a fun sort of thing or whatever. But just listen to you guys just a few minutes ago. It's a serious piece of kit, really, isn't it?
It is. Like, it absolutely is. It's one of those, it's a nice entry-level instrument because it nearly follows the same range as the human voice, I suppose. So it's nice to be able to pick up a song and sing along with it. But then, like any instrument, the more you spend it, the better you get.
So it's not just a small guitar.
Absolutely not. A guitar is a large ukulele, I think you'll find.
Sorry, don't forget here, old Mr. I found, I hooked you up because it's my pal Jenny who's in this wonderful group. And she's the one who, well, she's not here right now.
Because, you know, you'd be here,
Jenny's a glorious leader. Yeah. Jenny's always with us.
But she hooked you up, so we'll get her in another time. But beautiful sound, I think.
So you're called Ukulele Tuesday because you meet every Tuesday.
Absolutely. We're up all night thinking that one up.
Okay.
We are indeed.
In the Stag's Head. And I saw a video. There was about 20 of you at one stage in a room, or maybe 14
of you playing ukulele. It started at 6. And now on an average Tuesday, we get between 1 and 200 people now on an average Tuesday. It's gone ridiculous.
Yeah, the queues go down the street, around the corner.
The queue of ukuleles.
Be honest. Was it nicer when it was a little bit more intimate? Is it sometimes a bit overwhelming when there's a lot of people compete? And people do like to be better and bigger and stronger and faster and louder.
Yes.
And that can be annoying when you want to just actually get better at a song or improve. Or
it depends, I suppose. We've always kind of gone with the flow. When it got bigger, we decided, look, this is getting bigger now. What does that mean we can do, you know?
Yeah.
And for us, like with Mark here, Mark's actually our musical director, we bought the right equipment and we stepped up to the fact that it became so big. Mm. Like, I mean, Condé Nast listed us as the number two thing to do in Dublin and Mumford & Son called us their favourite Irish moment ever. And
did they? Did they go down to you?
Yeah, with the bassist was the one they listened to us doing.
Wow.
They were sitting at the bar when we played like a Mumford & Son song.
We didn't know they were there.
Really?
They were talking about us on the radio the day after. That's a bit weird.
That's not too shabby at all.
Nobody knows what Mumford & Sons look like. They could just walk past here.
I often think Marty.
The one who spotted
Yes.
She went, it's like, I don't know if you noticed, but that's
but Jenny's a bit of a perv like me, like she'd know, you know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't know.
And so what we've done then as well is we have that many people coming on a Tuesday, but we've also kind of created a, for want of a better word, a gig band.
Right.
It's kind of 15 to 20 people who would play concerts and festivals. We just headlined a concert in Wigan of all places about 2 weeks ago.
Wigan, wow.
Absolutely. Okay. The cultural
Never
heartland.
Been.
it's nice. It allows us to kind of get around the world or get around the country that way. And now we get supposed to begin to get around the world.
So Bastian, where are you from?
I'm from France.
And did you learn to play this in France?
I did. I was just messing around, really. Like, this was like a handy instrument to bring along when you're traveling.
Yes.
So that's why I brought it to Ireland when I moved 3 years ago.
Okay.
And then I heard there was a meetup of ukulele players in the Stag's Head every Tuesday. So I started going, and basically, almost as long as I've been in Ireland, I've been going to Ukulele Tuesday.
But also, let's be fair, a nice way to get out of the house, meet new people, have that kind of zone.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It is really. Because you get like the way it's configured in the Stagshead is like it's tables. So you're sitting around with like six people and all kinds of levels. So you might be a little bit better than someone so you can teach them, or someone might be a lot better so you can like look at what they're doing and try to improve yourself.
Cool.
So it's really cool, yeah.
It is cool. Okay. You're going to stay around for a while anyway so we can have more chats. I see that's a really a Ryanair-friendly musical instrument.
Actually,
when you think about it, because
there's no Ryanair friendly instruments.
Well, actually, we flew to Wigan a couple of weeks ago, and we actually had to pay somebody to go on the ferry to take the ukulele.
You're joking me! It's not overhead luggage.
Well, you have to pay extra, which is
They'd be like, get those out, hammer. No way would you get that into it. You'd get, even in my pink sack, you wouldn't get that ukulele.
Well, hey, it's a lot handier than drums. We were going to bring in drummers Wednesday, but we thought it's just too much equipment. They're not coming in.
Don't have the budget.
Stick with ukulele. Jeez, you're going to do for us no surprises, yeah?
We have, absolutely. And you just ruined that surprise. So
sorry, because I just heard you do it. Yeah, okay. So anyway, be surprised. Here's Radiohead. Ukulele Tuesday. Take it away. Come on.
1, 2, 3, 4.
No surprises,
no alarms and no surprises, please.
Yeah, that was lovely. Really, really good.
I'm heartless and you brought tears to my eyes. So beautiful.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
There's a thing, there's a great bit of research. I think you really, this is really up your street.
Right.
For those who've walked down the aisle more than once, remarrying can bring a new lease of life. Yes.
Go on.
But tying the knot multiple times, well, it's not only painful, but it's better for women than it is for men. Research has shown, according to research, it buffers women's health. Do you want to have your health buffered?
Yes.
It buffers your health, it helps them financially.
Yes.
And it gives their children a better chance of survival.
Yes.
The same cannot be said for men, however.
Do you know all of this information?
This is all.
Men thrive in a marriage where they're just lazy buggers, right?
Yes, yes.
Women need that kind of engagement and affection and for there to be a constant open communication, right, which dies with a lot of men.
So if buggery old lazy man on the potato couch
is delighted with life because he's getting his food, he's getting his once a month
and he's having Sky Sports
and he's got Sky Sports and he's happy out.
But
the woman is not thriving, yeah, and therefore she's getting ill, her child is suffering. So you need to every 3 years find a new man.
Okay. Now just to say that men who are in many marriages, apparently their fitness was found to drop. The more spouses they clocked up, their fitness levels dropped. The more people you marry, the fatter you got.
What?
As far as medical studies, yes, research.
I would have thought you've had to keep yourself really in tip-top shape to go on all those kind of in-between dates, in-between marriages.
Well, maybe their fitness went because their heart rate went because their new ladies expected a little bit of loving too much. Also, they produced fewer surviving children. Oh!
Are you reading the thing about the crows that I pulled out yesterday?
No, no,
is
no,
that
no,
the bird
no,
thing
no.
or humans?
Study author Professor Monique Borgerhoff-Mulder. What a great name. Monique said, our work suggests marrying multiple times may be a wise strategy for women where the necessities of life are harder. Harder. She studied 2,000 people in a West Tanzanian village where swapping partners is typical.
Stop it. So she...
Apparently they borrow partners the way we borrow sugar.
So she goes to some random island and checks out swingers and says this is a piece of research. Well, thank you, Monique, for going to college. Can I say something?
Professor Monique Borgerhoff-Mulder.
Would you advise me to move on?
Well, it's only what you've said off air.
No. No, but do you think it keeps a pep in your step for life?
That if you move on to it.
Do you know what I mean? Keep going. Just keep upgrading.
Just keep upgrading all the time. Keep rebooting.
Moving on up now.
I think it'd be, firstly, I don't know, but I think for me, it would be, God, it'd be nerve-wracking.
No, well, you're too old. Sorry.
It'd be, hey, you back can, your
No, but you can't. Like,
there.
You're, that's it. Done, gone, dead and dodos.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about me, a fresh, fine young piece of meat.
Fresh. Fresh meat for sale. Fresh meat for sale. Rebecca's up for grabs. Alright, she got a bit of mileage on her this day, but not too much. You can have it reupholstered.
Shut up, you are a terrible... You know what I mean, though? I'm still in my prime.
What says who?
I don't know. I'm so tired all the time.
We've seen the stadium at 5:30 in the morning here. If that's your prime... Anyway... Folks, there you go. So it's better off. I don't know. I think for men, yeah, just
men are lazy.
Go through. Like, see, I don't know how some men can have like 7 different marriages. It's like, man, what are you doing to yourself?
It's expensive too. You've also got a lot of alimony.
Expensive. It's tiring. You forget their names, birthdays. I mean, one birthday is enough to remember. Anyway, there you go. So you'll do much better anyway when you trade in whatever you're trading in. That's the research, folks.
Do you know that Irish women are more likely to cheat than Irish men?
Well, that doesn't make sense, because to who are they cheating on then?
Well, the men aren't in marriages.
Oh, men are just too tired. Listen, seriously, men are too tired. Irish women are the most tiring women in Europe.
Oh, my.
Professor Monique Borgerhoff-Mulder did a survey of 2,000 people in Kinnegad. And most men said, bugger that, they're just really tiring. No, one is enough. One is enough.
You're appalling. You're absolutely the most appalling greaser.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
They didn't ask me.
I would have thought you would
Who
have written
did the survey.
But I diddly do. There's a bloke called Craig Simpson in one of the papers.
Oh, yeah,
but
Craig, who is he? He's an excellent review. I'm a big fan of Craig's work.
Who is he? Who did the survey?
I don't know. RadioTimes.com.
Ah, the
Tim
London Glan, people.
Tim Glanfield. So he sounds
Timmy
a bit strange.
Is
Timmy
wonderful.
Is so good, isn't
he? No, it's a UK thing. But
I always go to Timmy for the music, the movie reviews.
No, they did the survey.
I don't care. We like Timmy.
Okay. Anyways, so what do we hate?
Well, I can give you 10 things, but what do you hate most in the cinema?
Now.
Oh, God, here we go.
Jeez.
Settle down, folks.
Let's start with people who talk.
Ah, yes, yes.
So you can talk all you like during the trailers, during the ads, as soon as the... Shut up.
Yeah, you're damn right. Now, there's a certain member of this team.
And someone I'm looking at here likes a good old chin wag through the film.
So does the other one. Kennedy does, isn't it?
Yes,
Kennedy talks right through the
tell me with Kennedy when we're in trouble, and then otherwise, if we're both up to good things.
Well, you're winning up to good things. Come on. So she talked to the
When I saw Rocket Man with you, Rebecca.
I hadn't had a few. I hadn't had a drink in a long time. I had an old beverage that night.
Just do it quietly in the corner.
I was Lucy Loose that night and I was having fun.
She talked right through Rocket Man.
No, I didn't. I whispered. I went, it's good. It's a good song. I like this song.
Yeah, she's like, oh, look at him doing that. Yeah, we can see it on the screen.
Oh, I noticed Clint was getting very angry because I went across to talk to him because my friend was in between us. Yes. And I was like, Clint, it's good.
You can't go across somebody in the cinema when you're watching a movie. That's the second worst thing. Go ahead.
Number two.
I think you're probably hearing all of them. Go on.
Now, when you get your crisps in the cinema, people, I think they're trying to be nice.
Yeah.
You know, some people do crisps or packets of lollies or sweets or anything like that. People are trying to be nice, slowly opening them.
Yeah.
To not make noise. Yeah. But that's almost more annoying.
It is.
Just go bang, pop, and off you go.
There is the anticipation if it's slow, because you're hearing...
It's so annoying.
Oh, God, open them, will you? Just open them.
Oh, my God, you both are some serious
issues. And I'll wrap it
totally
up on...
No, that is the biggest thing. But just the noise of people. Yes. Why do we have noisy food in cinemas?
Well,
why can't people come up with silent popcorn? Why do you have to people make that noise? Go on then.
The final one is the obvious one, phones. But it's the level of phone. Again, you're allowed to have your phone in the cinema if you're pregnant and about to give birth, if you're a doctor.
What the hell are you doing in the cinema if you're about to give birth?
What is your phone going to do if you're pregnant?
No. If you need to make a call or receive a call.
But you've never got Wi-Fi. You can't even get Wi-Fi.
There is sometimes when it's allowed to be on silent, in your pocket, that sort of thing. When you are on your phone, Instagramming.
Yes.
Lucy Kennedy.
What?
While the film is on.
Yes. No.
Yes.
And I think I told you guys this story. I was at a media screening. And this is a media screening, so people from the media.
Yeah.
A lady was checking her Gmail in front of me, applying for jobs.
Oh, for God's sake.
Throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
Get out.
It's a tough industry out there.
It's tough to get a gig, but don't do it in the cinema.
I'll give you the other list. I'll give you the full list.
Person too, Rebecca.
Flatulence is also a problem. I think you've got to make sure you leave all that outside.
I'm actually surprised by this one because I don't know if I've had that experience.
Yeah, but I think if you know you're going to have one, have a rip outside. Do the whole lot outside.
Really?
Before you come into the cinema.
Is that on the list?
You know that you're going to let one rip, so do it outside.
Why are you staring at me?
What if it's a long film? What if it's either Quentin Tarantino? That's nearly 3 hours.
There should be a toilet break. There should be a break to let it rip.
I'm not that young anymore. I've never been to a film where someone's farted, like, ever.
No. You mean I'm not that young? You think it just happened back in the 80s or something?
I'm just saying. I have no recollection of someone farting in the cinema with me.
Oh, God. Young fellas. Go to a Marvel movie and there's 10 young fellas.
Well, I don't go to Marvel movies. People playing with their Mickeys for 2 hours.
Oh, she said the word.
What? I'm serious.
Okay, here we go. Top 10.
Yes.
Slurping drinks at number 10. Yeah. Eating smelly food at number 9. Someone encroaching on your seat.
Oh, yes. Feet behind you.
No, that'd be you.
That'd be you crawling over your friend to get to him.
Yes. No feet behind me. No feet beside me.
Kissing and cuddling. I hate that anyway.
Oh.
Walking in and out during the film. Oh, I hate that.
Shut up, the two of you.
No, do you know when you're watching a good film, that people go, excuse me.
I'm always on the end of the aisle, as you might remember.
I'm always on the end of the aisle. People who sit in the wrong seat and refuse to move.
I think that's hilarious. It's like this. It's like the airplane. We're 900 million feet up. Shut up and sit down.
Phone use, talking, and the biggest one is having your seat kicked from behind.
Yeah.
From the snotty little 5-year-old kid. Go ahead, sorry.
Someone just texts, I love how dirty minded Rebecca is. I don't think I'm dirty minded at all. Sex. No, I'm serious.
Did you hear what you
I'm
said?
Actually
just,
serious.
No, just rewind.
Can you rewind
said,
the tape?
You just said, somebody just sent it in to say, dirty minded.
No,
I'm not dirty minded.
No,
am
no,
I?
No.
And then the next word that came out of your mind, sex.
No, I'm saying people that try and get the hoodly dupes up the Johnny Axies.
People do not do that in cinemas. You're going to that Sunday afternoon cinema, aren't you?
No, I'm
is
not.
This a confession, Rebecca?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you a story.
Yes.
I went to Titanic with a lovely chap once on a date and it was very lovely and we were all having a lovely date.
Yeah.
And I had some popcorn and I had a Diet Coke and he had some sparkly water and some popcorn and Maltesers. And a guy.
Yes.
And a girl.
Yes.
Were up to no good behind us.
Wow. Okay.
To the point where I saw
everything.
Mickey Joe Hart.
Stop.
So this is, hang on, this is teenage years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this, that happened.
So he was trying to sink the ship.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
So this, I think, is the saddest. This is sort of sad, right? That in this day and age that we can't complete this particular record. So it's a church, right?
Okay.
In New York. And they decided that they wanted to break a record for the world's largest, longest relay hug.
Okay.
Isn't that nice? So
not really.
The Asbury First Methodist facility. Well, it's people like you that it didn't happen. Because the Asbury First Methodist facility in New York said it was trying to spread the love.
Methodists.
In a divided planet.
No.
Okay. It was aiming for 1,300 participants, but it fell short. So it never completed the world record of the biggest relay hug, which I think is really
okay,
sad.
Okay, what in God's name is a relay hug? Stop pretending you know what that is.
Oh, come on. A relay hug means, okay, say there's four of us here, right?
Yeah.
So I hug you, then I stop hugging you. You hug Clint.
Oh, so it's just hug.
And Clint then, no, you pass on the hug.
Pass on the germs.
No, not necessarily the germs, but just the hug. Pass on the hug. So they needed 1,300 people and they couldn't get enough people to break a record of hug. Oh, here's Mrs. Cynical Underpants has arrived.
A2 Me Too movement. People don't really
A2,
want
me too,
to
me,
have
two.
Someone...
Excuse me.
B, some people go in for a bit more and there's a clutch of private areas, so no one wants to be.
Okay.
C, there's an outbreak of a lot of diseases around modern society
see you.
Nowadays.
See you.
Nobody wants to.
That's it.
It's
you.
D, hygiene.
It's
there's
you.
There's a serious issue with hygiene.
It's you, isn't it? It's you and your sort.
What?
It's you and your sort that have made them they cannot
complete
the relay.
Okay, I don't want a willy against my bum. And that is the reality of what a relay hug is. Because
no,
I've done
not.
Those huggy things and there's always some creepy boy right behind you.
No, the whole point is, I'm sure they went through and they vetted all of them. And they decided that these are the cleanest people we can get. If we let any old codger in, we could have had 2,500, but they'd all be touching each other.
No, I just think that no, kind just, of rubbish.
No, I just think, again, I think it's you. It's people of your ilk.
And it's people of your ilk, Colm Hayes, who go out for these days to try and get some action.
You don't get your. You don't look for action in a Methodist church's relay hug.
Really,
spreading the love on the
spreading
across the planet.
What? No, what see, are you
there
spreading?
You go, there you go.
You give
so,
me crabs.
So what if we organised it here? What if we got 1,300? So I could get 1,100 builders from out in Castle Forbes, who all the big buildery lads, and they could all come in and go, "Oh, you're a big hug," and we could spread the love. No.
My bits are fine, they're intact and they're nice and happy on their own. They don't need any groping.
And with that, they'll always be on their own. You remember that.
Oh.
That's you can keep your bits to yourself.
Yeah, I don't mind that, Colin. Not everyone wants to go out for group hugs. Not everyone's that sad.
They're trying to break a record and they're trying to break to spread the love. And all you can think about
oh
is,
my God.
Your man's going to touch me with his fiddly bits. I'll get a disease.
I'm going to make an announcement.
I'll get a disease from your man over there. It's called a hug. What do you do with your tongue?
What year are we in?
2019.
Right. And I'm going to just make this announcement now and I hope this stops it. We have broken all records. We've done all our... We've ruined the world. Ice Age is back.
Well, hang on.
Right?
Do you not think
we've
that
broken
this...
all hugging, snogging, eating a hot dog in 2.8. Let's be done now with records. I'm over it.
Just close down the Guinness Book of Records.
Stop it.
Just stop it. That's it. No more records
no more.
Anymore.
We've done it. We've broken every record that could possibly be broken. Oh, actually, that's a wonderful idea.
Jesus Christ, sorry. Well, I think she's just disagreed with herself. Not the first time, folks. I witnessed this most mornings. Go on.
No, I have an idea for a record-breaking thing that you and I can do. I'll talk to you about it again tomorrow.
Is it rude? Yes, it is. Great, okay.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Sean, Mark and Bastian, good morning and welcome back again.
Hello.
They've all brought their ukuleles. And just to remind you that this weekend is a ukulele hooli. On Sunday afternoon, they will perform at the ukulele hooli, which celebrates its 10th anniversary in Dunleary. Basically, what is a ukulele hooli? What is this festival?
Well, it's a two-day festival. Like I said, it's the largest in Europe, the oldest in Europe. The first day is really for players, so there's a lot of workshops on, things like that. It's also a busk.
Players as in the player.
But just ukulele players. I just wanted to check. I know the player.
Just wanted to check.
You will never be a player, ever.
A ukulele player.
The second day is then for audience, people to come along and listen. So this year, headlining it is James Hill, who's probably the most famous and best ukulele player in the world at the moment. If anybody doesn't know him, just look up James Hill and his cover of Billie Jean. It's insane.
Billie Jean?
It's absolutely insane.
Like, why is it so insane? What is it that he does?
He does the rhythm, he does the bass, he does the percussion and the singing all at the same time on the same instrument. Do you want to... To give
Mark, you do a little bit of the of
no pressure.
The pressure.
No pressure at all. Like,
and it comes James Hill.
Mark, do your best James Hill impression.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Okay.
It's so gorgeous. It's so different to what I think you and I had in our head about ukulele.
Ukulele, yeah. And just to say that, Mark, you actually give lessons in ukulele, but when you came in just a few minutes ago and said James Hill was there, you were actually shaking. He's like, he's like the king of ukulele.
He's
the
Jimi Hendrix.
Exactly. He actually does a really good Jimi Hendrix sound as well.
There you go.
But he basically meeting my hero, so... they decided to put me on a workshop this year, and when they posted the pictures of like who's doing the workshops, they had James Hill, who's like the greatest kind of modern and ukulele player. Then they had the other guy is basically this guy who does it like George Formby, better than George Formby, and does workshops on it. And then they stuck me. So I was like, no pressure, I'm just gonna like change my underwear.
You should just be delighted. You should change, but I always think it's good to change your underwear.
And if anybody wants to check out the ukulele hooli website, they'll find links if anybody wants to go to the Saturday ones, and on the Sunday as well, it's all afternoon, about 12 to 7.
Thank God you have a grown up in the group who's marketeering and getting the information out while we talk rubbish. Bastian, is this big in France?
Ukulele?
Ooh! Is that me or who's that?
Somebody's whistling there. Is their headphones there?
Is it mine, I wonder?
Problem solved.
Ever the professionals.
Not going on the floor.
In France, is ukulele...
I wouldn't know really, because I really got into it when I moved here to Dublin. So I don't know. I assume, I mean, Paris is so big, there must be ukulele groups meeting up weekly.
Yeah.
I just don't know any of them yet, but maybe when we go on tour, on our European tour.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Bastian, Rick just wanted to hear you talk again.
I think I should probably roadie the European tour, because I think it can get tricky.
Okay. A ukulele roadie. Yeah. Do you get groupies?
In a funny way, we get a lot of groups who actually fly to Dublin specifically to play on a Tuesday night, and then they fly home again.
Wow!
So
okay,
groupies.
So groups are the groupies. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Oh my God! When they start making babies, they'll just have mini ukulele babies. Oh, you know the way, like when they start sleeping on their own.
Yeah, I understand. Well, actually, I don't understand. I just feel sympathetic. Right. Okay. So what we're going to do here? We're going to do Space Oddity.
Yeah.
Ukulele Tuesday. Sean, Mark, Bastian, take it away.
Bastian's voice has been so popular, we're going to do a little bit of French.
If you know what we say, lean in good there, Bastian. That's not a euphemism, it's just to get to the microphone.
Stop. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Peace.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Set.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
Trois.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you. is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirts you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way. And the stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can, far above the world. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
Oddity with a little bit of Francais in there as well. From Ukulele Tuesday. Thanks so much, guys.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Our Man at the Movies, Clint, which is brought to you by Manhattan Popcorn, Ireland's favourite popcorn at manhattan.ie.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Clint.
So much to talk about, so I'll quickly have to tell you about two films you have to see.
Okay.
Well, three films, actually.
Oh,
but
wow, okay.
Oh, God.
Animals is out in cinemas now. Ooh. This is a good Irish film about two girls, Laura and Tyler. They are living life at large in Dublin. Rebecca, this is you.
Yes. When I saw this, I actually thought...
This is, like, you could have written... This is probably your life.
No, I'm offended. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You have to watch it. You'll love it. It's fantastic.
As soon as I saw clips, I thought of Rebecca.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't be offended.
God, now I am anxious.
This is probably the only compliment you'll get.
Yes. And it's a great, great film. And Dermot Murphy's in it too. Great young Irish lad who played Bob Geldof in the Bohemian Rhapsody film.
You haven't told us what it's about.
Two girls
living life at large in Dublin. That's my summary. I can't go into too much detail because I've got so much to talk about.
What do you mean living the life at large?
I say this would have been you 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also worth seeing, I saw it last night, the funniest film of the year, hands down.
Yeah, but but I think you were drunk.
There may have been alcohol involved, but good boys. Now, when I say it was from the people who brought you Superbad and Sausage Party, and it's written by and it's produced by Seth Rogen, that okay. doesn't necessarily give you a good taste
no.
in your mouth.
Yeah.
Wow, Clint. Wow.
This is so funny. It's about three little kids, the Beanbag Boys, they call them their gang.
Yeah.
And 12-year-old Max has to, he starts blossoming and starts falling in love with a girl and needs to learn how to kiss.
Ah, bless.
And so the movie is all about how him and his mates help him learn how to kiss.
So it's basically brilliant. Puberty.
Puberty, but so hilarious.
Yes. But how is that hilarious? So it's the most depressing time.
Puberty is very, Rebecca. Well, with blokes, puberty is funny. Oh, my God.
There's girls in it too, going through puberty, and it's just so funny. Just yeah. so funny.
Okay.
4.5 stars. The funniest film you'll see this
year. He's drunk. Don't let him in when he's drunk.
When he came in, the first thing this morning, he was so excited about this. Yeah.
So you should see that film, Colm.
Okay.
And Rebecca, off to animals, and I want you both to report back for Monday.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm not... Okay.
Yes, you are.
And now, another film everyone is going to see is Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm Rick Dalton.
That's your son?
No, that's my stunt double, Cliff Booth.
I'm Sharon Tate. I'm in the movie.
Cool.
That was the best acting I've ever seen.
Welcome to our community.
Charlie's going to dig you.
That can all change that day.
I love that stuff, you know, the killing.
A lot of killing.
Now, they say that this was going to be a Manson family movie.
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay.
It's loosely got that in there, but it's all about 60s Hollywood and how it's changing. And Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio in the business, and they're seeing it change around them, and they don't like it changing. So it's a buddy movie, really. It's about the two guys, essentially. And then, of course, throw in Al Pacino, Margot Robbie, Dakota Fanning, Kurt Russell, and even Luke Bloody Perry from Beverly Hills 90210.
Wow.
Who?
Okay.
Luke Perry.
Who are these lot?
You would have had Luke Perry posters on your bedroom window.
I tell you why I didn't.
Okay. Why?
Because I had Jared Leto.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
anyway, so it's his last film ever. He's in it for about a minute. So, you know,
Luke Perry.
Because he's dead.
He passed away.
Sorry.
And it could be Quentin Tarantino's second last film ever because he said he'd only ever make 10.
Yeah.
And this is his ninth.
Okay.
Gosh, there's a lot of violence in here.
Is there?
There is.
Oh, I didn't expect you to say that.
No. It's all at one point. Without spoiling it, it does go for 3 hours.
Wow.
So, you know me, I don't like a long film.
Yeah.
But it's entertaining enough along the way. It's madness, and Hollywood is madness, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
people say it's a bit, it's typical him spoiling himself, indulging himself.
Of course
himself,
it is. But isn't that what we like? But hang on a second. I mean, as I said, I watched Pulp Fiction last night, and I loved what he indulged. Like that scene about the Royale, just some of the stuff he does. It's so indulgent, but it's brilliant. It's bloody genius.
Do you want to, and I get that point, do we need to see that kind of level of narcissism from our director?
Yes, that's
don't we know. Want to really? Okay, but isn't the story more important?
I think if the narcissistic levels are on levels of genius, absolutely, yeah. It's like saying Leonardo da Vinci. Oh, do you think you've put a little bit too much into that painting?
Hang on.
No, you haven't. You're a bloody genius. Put some more colour in.
Hang on, Alan Partridge. You're a bloody genius. Is it one of his best films?
No.
Okay, didn't expect you to...
See, I don't like all of his films.
Yeah,
so
we were already talking about that
person.
Earlier on. Mm. I mean, for me, like Pulp Fiction, Inglourious Basterds...
Kill Bill.
Didn't like that.
Jackie Brown.
Didn't like that.
Reservoir Dogs, probably his best.
Kill Bill is one of my favourites.
Haven't seen Hateful of Eight.
Okay, neither have I.
No, I haven't seen that.
So, anyway... It's just mad, okay? So, like, Margot Robbie is playing Sharon Tate and she goes to the movies to watch herself. Like, that's in the middle of the film and it's just this random scene of Sharon Tate eating popcorn, watching herself.
And is Margot Robbie any good?
Again, she's only in it sparingly.
Oh,
this
really?
Film is all about Brad and Leo.
Okay, it really is the buddy-buddy.
It is the buddy-buddy.
I thought it was very much about her. That's interesting.
But is it also about the style of the 60s?
It is.
It's all about this because he's so stylistic as a director.
The bars they're drinking the making
Leo
of Hollywood.
Leo and Brad good?
Yeah. They are good. They are good.
Just playing themselves as usual, though.
Yeah. No. It's almost like Brad Pitt's almost leathery in this
because
he's the stuntman. And he's kind of just, he's got this walk about him and all the girls like him, obviously. It's well worth the watch. like I said, set aside 3 hours. That's the only downside to it.
And but do you know, Ray, just to say again, because last night we were actually near the end of the movie and I was going, wow, I'd forgotten how long this was, yes. 2.5 hours. But then it's over and you go, oh man, I want more. You know, so did you feel the 3 hours?
I still don't know what this meant.
Well, I think he needed a wee by the end of it.
So I don't know what the movie
more.
Meant.
No, I still don't.
A lot of people are saying that.
I have no idea.
What do you mean?
It's Tarantino. I have no idea what the point
of
that 3 hours was.
The Burgess of Sharon Tate in Hollywood.
But no, it's not. No, it's not.
But Pulp Fiction finished where it could have still gone on for another 2 hours.
Hang on. It's about that time in Hollywood. It's about the murders. Yes. It's about this French. Like, so we do know what it's about.
No, we don't. Because it's not actually about that. Like I said, you go see this and you'll find out that it's actually not about the Mansons.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it absolutely was.
No, apparently it's,
We'll wrap up in saying that there is one hell of a good soundtrack.
Yes, there is an amazing soundtrack.
We have a trip to Hollywood to give away.
Yeah.
I know.
And I'm going to give it.
Standard Hotel.
Go on.
4 Hollywood stars.
Only four. Shocked me. I thought it would have nearly made a 4.5.
So the puberty film gets 4.5 and Animals About Me gets 95. Like, you're gone off track.
Four. So why did it not get 4.5
because
to 5?
It's too long.
Because it's not a masterpiece.
No, it's not a masterpiece. Too long, and it's not about the Mansons.
Okay, all right.
But this show is too long. Would you give it 4?
There you go.
I'm sticking with my guns, okay?
He's sticking with his guns. So, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 4 stars from our man of the movies.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
I know a lot of people, not a lot, but a few of my friends who would have called their parents by Tom or Baylor, and a few of them. And I used to always kind of, not question it, but go, oh, okay, well, we always called our parents Mum and Dad. And I think only later in life when I saw my dad's post would I know his name. Genuinely, like.
Really?
Honest to God, I remember Dad getting posts and going, oh, that's his full name, and that's Mum's name, because it's bizarre to me.
Yeah. So anyway. you never used it, even now.
No, and my dad would always go, your mother.
Right, yeah.
We'll
yeah.
have the da da da. I don't know. Weird.
Yeah.
So some of my friends who go to their house, they'd be like, Bill. And I'd be like, why are you calling your dad Bill?
Because his name is Bill.
So I'm very traditional. I want to be mama and husband, dada, and we have our baby. And we spent a week in Cork. Obviously, she knows.
Yeah.
She's heard my name before, but for whatever reason, this week resonated. Everyone was probably saying, Becca, Rebecca. And she's come back from this trip and in the car, and it was like the minute we got into the car and said bye to everyone, she looked at me and smiled. So it's like Exorcist kid.
Ah, right, okay,
And went, Rebecca.
Yeah.
And smiled. And I went, okay, no, mama. It's Rebecca.
She's
and
got
kept
one on you.
Doing it.
Yeah.
And so I'm being told by my husband, stop engaging, you're engaging, and like all this getting less.
She's engaging with your child.
What is in? He's like, she knows this is getting a reaction.
Yeah, of course it is.
So that's grand. Kind of forgot about it. And then this morning I'm getting up at the arse end of dawn.
Yeah.
4 a.m. or something to come in and do this.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm trying to be quiet, but I'm not very delicate in the morning. I was like, bam, crash, trying to find my onesie and my doodle and my feather boa for you and my nipple tassel, everything.
Yeah, the lot.
And I'm leaving the bedroom and she's back in sleeping. She's going through a bad sleep phase and she's like, morning, Rebecca.
Aha.
Morning in the background, and I'm like, no, mama. My husband's like,
even
stop engaging.
Yes. See, this is it, you're engaging.
And morning, Rebecca.
Yeah.
And she's looking at me and I'm like, oh my God, you're either naughty or you hate me.
No.
What's going on?
So firstly, to be very important, you don't want your daughter to call you Rebecca. You want to be called, what, mom, mommy, ma?
Mama.
Ma. What do you want?
Well,
she's
going to be a South African we're teaching her Afrika, don't ask. But anyway, she's going to have two little languages.
Yeah.
So she's trying to get used to words, but mama is what I wanted her to call
me. You want to be called mama, okay.
Not by you right now.
No, I understand that. No, we're talking about your daughter. No, yes. I'll continue calling you Rebecca, regardless of whether you want me to call you mama. I am not calling you mama.
Well, some days.
Yeah, mama, horn here, how you doing? But I think the thing is, right, that exactly what you said, you've shown a reaction, so she will. This is me in the
good, I like
gone,
this, yeah.
As a doctor and
thank
having
you.
Had so many kids. But anyway, it's, because you're showing her a reaction, she's enjoying that. So you need to stop. You need to only react when she says,
but I hadn't shown her a reaction beforehand.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Never speak to her again.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Until she calls you mama, and say that to her. I will not speak to you or engage with you on any level, regardless of whether you fall in love with a man when you're 23, until you actually call me mama.
But this is the smarty pants that she is. She's going between the two, so she knows. One, so she'll go, mama, when she's crying or she's hit her, you know.
Yeah.
Mama, and the dog was annoying her yesterday. But then it's Rebecca this morning when it's like, what?
She's a clever one, isn't she?
She's a little tricky. Yeah. Listen, I don't know what to
call,
do.
What does she call Jay? Does she call Jay or Dada?
No, of course he's Dada. He's the hero. Sorry, he is the flavour of the month in our house.
Yeah,
I don't think that.
Well, let me just say, a daughter to their father, he'll be the flavour of the month till she's about 19.
Okay, and then what happens?
Then she might meet somebody. Might meet, I don't know, boy, girl, fish, something. But
I think he's going to keep her. He told me this. I mean, I probably shouldn't say this on air, but in the recycling bin, so that doesn't happen. You know, the big ones?
Yeah.
Just keep her in there.
Probably shouldn't tell us that.
Okay.
But anyway, so my son grew up calling me Colm. And my daughter grew up calling me Dad.
So why?
And even now to this day, he just calls me Colm.
Why?
And when he talks about me as Dad. My dad did this and my dad did that. But when he talked to me directly, from when he was G's age, he called me Colm.
Why?
I don't know. Just because, obviously, he heard my name was Colm and I didn't stop it.
Why didn't you stop it?
I didn't stop it at all.
And are you upset by this? Let's talk about this.
No, not at all.
What is that tear on the left cheek?
I think, no, that's a tear from something else. No, I think it's just quite cool and that's the way it is. And but I don't know if there's a way. I mean, I know a friend of mine, Kieran, and their kids have called them their names from day one.
I don't know I think there's a lot of mom guilt with working full time.
Is it guilt?
Yes, it is. I feel terrible guilt.
Wow, so you're feeling guilt because your daughter knows your name?
No, I feel guilt that I'm not present as much as I probably should be by traditional standards. So I'm tired.
Oh,
and,
forget tradition.
Yeah, and now she's calling me a blooming person's name instead of mama.
No, at least she's not calling you Veronica.
Jesus.
Do you know what I mean? If she did, then you'd really have to question what was going
on. Maybe she's actually calling me Mary and I'm actually...
No, she's calling you. She's such high respect and regards that she's calling you your real name. But you want to be called Mama because you're this traditional, filled with guilt and
if she's
going to
have some bloody respect, she should be calling me Lady. Yeah. I might get onto that this evening.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
That's it from the Colm and Lucy podcast. We'll have another podcast up next week. And remember, you can join us live on the radio. Radio Nova, Monday to Friday, 6 to 10.
The Colm and Lucy podcast. Seriously addictive podcasting.
From Nova.ie and Radio Nova.